morning, and today we will do English, and want to wish you a very happy Pentecost Sunday. You know why I'm so happy that it's Pentecost Sunday? Because when the Holy Spirit came down to earth after Jesus' resurrection, there was a command that was given that says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you will be my witnesses. And you know why I'm so grateful about that? Because the first disciples received power to be able to share the gospel. And so they shared the gospel with their friends, and then their friends shared it with their friends, and it shared to the next generation, and to the next, and to the next, and to the next. And finally, in 2026, the gospel is still being shared, all because of Pentecost Sunday. Because the Holy Spirit gives us power to share the good news. So I'm so glad that your church is here. And thank you, Johnny, for letting me come today. And Johannes and Jakob, who's good friends. But I want to share this morning some of the gospel message. It's the gospel that changes a person's life. If your life hasn't been changed yet, it's because you haven't had an experience with the gospel. If you don't have assurance of eternal life, you'll need to have an experience with the gospel, with Jesus. And the story is so incredible. And so you have actually allowed a street preacher to preach in your church today. You don't know how dangerous that is. I am going to so hold myself back to do the same message, but in a church format, because I love preaching on the street. So we have a ministry in Madrid, Spain, and we have been going to the main square in Madrid, Spain for 24 years, just about every day of the week. We go out there, we give our testimony, we sing a song, and we give a message, the message of the gospel, and we always illustrate it. So today, I will do some of that illustration to help you understand. See, for me, the gospel message is invisible because it belongs to an invisible kingdom. And so our goal this morning is, as the Holy Spirit has shown me the gospel message, I want you to be able to hear it. I want you to be able to see it. I want you to be able to feel it. And I want you to experience it. So I want to make visible the invisible message of the gospel. And once you have an encounter with that, it'll change your life. Back in 1966, as many years ago, that was 50 years ago, 60 years ago. Back in 1966, there was a Baptist pastor. And his name was Pastor Dow. And he was 32 years old. And he was pastoring in the United States, and he had heard that a family had just moved to the area. And he had a country church. There were only 290 people in the town. And there were three Baptist churches. That was it. So you take your pick. One spoke Polish. It was a Polish Baptist. And the other one was Section 8 Baptist. And the other was a First Baptist. So if you wanted to go to church, you'd go to a Baptist church. Well, he heard a new family had come to town. Now, one of the things that he did not like to do was to meet strangers. And not every pastor is good at meeting strangers. Pastors are good at meeting you, discipling you, counseling you, preaching from a pulpit, but going and finding somebody new and talking to them, evangelists may be a little better at that. And so, but he knew he had to do it. It was part of his job. And so he goes, I know that if I go and greet this family, I'm going to be rejected. Nobody likes to be rejected. So he prepared himself, he prayed, he goes, he knocks on the door. A young boy, how old are you? 10. A young boy answers the door. He was only 6. And the Pastor Dow said, "Is your mother here? Or your father?" And the little boy says, "My mom's here. My dad's in the field working." And so Sonia, the mother, comes and she says, "Can I help you?" And the Pastor Dow says, "Well, we heard that you're a new family in town and we wanted to welcome you." You see, what he was doing is he was living out Pentecost. "And you will receive power and you'll be my witness." So he just was trying to propel the gospel forward in the way that he could. He says, "Well, I'm the pastor of the First Baptist Church here in town. And I just wanted to welcome you and your family to our village. And if you don't have any place to fellowship on a Sunday morning, then you're welcome to come to our place." And Sonia put up her hands like this. She says, "No, thank you. I already have my religion." Well, she was Lutheran, I guess. I don't think she ever went. But anyway, she was Lutheran. And so basically said goodbye. And so Pastor Dow left, and of course, he felt rejected. He goes, "I know, that's why I hate doing things like this." The next week, strangely, he felt urged to go back to that house again. And he goes, "Oh, the Holy Spirit is leading me to go back to that house." So he comes back to the house, knocks on the door. Sonia answers the door. And he said, "Listen, I know I was here last week. I know you already have your religion. But is there anything I can pray for you for? I'm just going to offer a prayer." She says, "You can pray for my marriage. I've only been married 8 years, but my husband's alcoholic. And we don't have a good marriage. And I have 2 kids and things aren't well." And he let her, she allowed him to go into the house, and they sat down at the table and she made a coffee. The kids were playing in the living room. And he said, "I'll pray for you and your family, and I'll pray for your marriage. I got to ask you a question, though, first." He said, "Have you ever been born again?" That's a great question to ask, but nobody understands that. And that actually comes from John chapter 3. And we'll look at that in a minute. And she says, "I don't know what you're talking about." He says, "Have you ever had your..." He says, "Maybe in a spiritual sense, your clothes cleaned," like the parable we read of the wedding feast. Do you have on clean clothes? Has Jesus forgiven you and given you new clothes so that you stand right before God?" She says, "I have no idea what you're talking about." Has the Spirit of God, has Jesus come into your life and given you a new heart? Have old things passed away? New things come? She said, "I don't really know what you're talking about." He says, "But it's a new life in Christ. Do you desire that?" And she says, "I do. If it'll help me in my life, if it'll help me in my marriage." And he says, "Well, then let's pray. Let's first pray that Jesus, by his Spirit, would come into your life." And so she did. And you know what happened when she said, "Jesus"? She said, "Jesus, I want you in my life. I need forgiveness." And the heavens opened up in the invisible realm, and the Spirit of God came down, entered into her life, and she had a before and after experience with Jesus. That lady was completely transformed. The next Sunday, she grabbed her 2 kids, because the husband didn't want to go, grabbed her 2 kids, 5 and 7, and took them to church, sat them down right there in the second row. And that lady, Sonia, was my mom. I was 5 years old. The gospel arrived at my house. I heard the gospel every week. And I remember responding to the gospel, but I wasn't experiencing any changes in my life. And so until I was 17 years old, something happened. So while, could you hand me my, the robes, the two white, yeah, the two robes. So basically when I was living my life, I would go to the church on Sundays. And then during the week, at a very young age, I learned how to sin. And nobody had to teach me. It just came naturally. It was easy to disobey my parents. It was easy. My friends taught me how to curse God. I felt bad about it, but I would still do it so I'd fit in to be with my friends. By the time I was 12, 13 years old, all my hormones awoke, and I realized I'm a man. And I realized there's other people that are not, and they're women. And I just thought this was the greatest thing in the world. But then my mind went, you know, it went and began to lust and think things that I shouldn't think. And then I started running after the girls. And I remember that in the spiritual way, it was as though my clothes were all stained. Now, I'm wearing this little thing just for a minute here because I grew up on a chicken farm. And I don't like chickens, but I love eggs. And my job on the chicken farm was not to gather the eggs from the 3,000 chickens. We had 3,000 chickens. But chickens lay more than eggs. Chickens also lay a lot of manure, a lot of chicken stuff. My job was to take the wheelbarrow and a shovel and every week for 4 hours shovel this chicken smelly stuff and then put it out into the fields. It was the worst job. Flies and worms and maggots and the smell. And by the time the 4 hours was done, I'd look like this. And I didn't try, but I had chicken all over me. And so me and my friend who helped me, we'd go to the house, and I'm hungry. I want to eat. And I opened up the door to our farmhouse, and I stepped into the house. And my mother, you know what she said? She said, "You're not coming into the house dressed like that." I said, "But I'm starving. I've been shoveling chicken for 4 hours." And she says, "If you're coming into this house, you got to strip." And so she made me take off all my clothes. I'm not going to do it this morning. Made me take off all my clothes, but she let me keep my underwear on. So I walked into the house in my underwear, sat down at the table and ate. Why do I tell you that story? Well, I tell you that story because we just read a parable of the wedding feast. And in the last day, there'll be a spiritual wedding feast. And there'll be people that are dressed beautifully in their wedding clothes. And there'll be others that are not. Up until I was 17 years old, I was that person that was not dressed properly. I had heard the gospel. I went to church. I had a Bible that I never read. And I lived in my sin. And I just figured if I believed in God, that would be good enough. I didn't realize that had I died and stood before the doors of heaven, he would say, "I would like to have you come in, but you're not coming in dressed like that." And I didn't know what it was going to take for me to be forgiven. And so I'm going to tell you a story here in John chapter 3 that has to do with the parable of the feast and wearing the right clothes. You may remember the story of Nicodemus. And he was a religious person. And he asked Jesus what he had to do to go to heaven. And Jesus said the same thing Pastor Dow, the Baptist pastor, said. He said, "You have to be born again. You have to be spiritually born. You've been physically born, now you have to be spiritually born. You have to be born two times. You have to be born from your mom, and you have to be born from above. You have to be born by the Spirit. You're born of the water, and you're born of spirit. And so he says you have to be born spiritually. Well, Nicodemus didn't understand that. And so Jesus began to explain it more and more. And he says, do you remember that story, Nicodemus? And Nicodemus says, which story? He said, the story in Numbers in the Old Testament about the day the children of Israel, the Jews, were in the desert and they started complaining. Another sin. Another thing that'll stain your clothes. He says, when they were sinning by complaining about the food. You see, God had given them food every morning called manna, and they were sick and tired of eating that food. You know that bread from heaven that you give us every day? Well, we're tired of it. We're sick and tired of eating the same old thing every day. And God, he's loving and he's patient and he's kind, but he was done with that. And we don't understand the justice of God. We don't understand how much he hates sin. But that complaining, you know what he did? He punished them. You know how he punished them? It was pretty bad. No, it was really bad. Actually, it says that he sent fiery snakes. He sent poisonous snakes to the camp. Now, there's probably about 3 million people in the camp. And these little poisonous snakes would crawl into their tents. And they would go into their sleeping bags at night. And they would get all cozy. And then there would be a little slithering movement at the bottom of their sleeping bag. And bite them. They go, oh, I just got bit by a snake. Well, that poison was so wicked that they would die from it. And there was no cure. And people all over the camp were being bit by snakes and dying. And so the people ran to Moses, the leader, and said, Moses, you got to talk to God. We've sinned. We're sorry. We're complaining about the food. We're not going to complain anymore, but please take the snakes away because we're dying and there's no antidote, there's no cure. And so Moses goes to God and says, your people are complaining. And he says, yes, I know they are. He says, this is what we're going to do. Moses says, yes, God, I want you to make a serpent out of bronze. And I want you to find a pole, okay? And I want you to take the bronze serpent and I want you to put it on top of the pole, all right? So he gets to work and he finds himself a pole like this one. Whoopsie. And he put the serpent on top of the pole. So once he made the bronze serpent, he put the pole in the center of the camp, and he put the serpent on top of the pole. And he says, okay, God, now what? He says, now I want you to spread the word. He says, what word? There's good news in the camp. Really? What's the good news? There's no good news here. People are dying all over the place. No, he says, there's good news because if people that have been bit by the snake come and look at the bronze serpent, I'll heal them. That will be the antidote. That will be the medicine. So that sounds crazy, huh? You imagine? Imagine if we did that in Gothenburg. Okay, everybody with cancer, everybody that had COVID years ago, here's a bronze serpent. Just come and look at it and you'll be healed. Don't even have to go to the hospital. But that's crazy. But you know what? If they believed that, they would come to the center of the camp They would look at that. Can you imagine? Somebody, some messenger going out into the camp. Good news, good news. What's the good news? Everybody's dying. No, but if you've been bit by a snake, go to the center of the camp. There's a pole, there's a bronze snake. Look at it, you'll be healed. I bet you some people said, yeah, right. And we stood out on the street yesterday for 2 hours down by the marathon. And we lifted up our voices. We did 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We probably preached 20 times with testimonies. And we lifted up our voices. And you know what we said? Good news, Gothenburg. Good news. You don't have to like die in your sins and be rejected. You can be a friend of God. Good news. Yeah, right. But other people stopped. And we talked to them. And we prayed with some people for healing and for other things. And we planted good seed into their hearts. Well, probably the same thing happened here in this story. Good news. And the people that believed, really? Probably helped them to the center of the camp. They looked and bam, God heals them. Okay, that was the story. Now, let's look at Jesus is continuing to tell the story. And look at verse 14. And as Moses, John chapter 3, verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, remember the story, so must the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. You see the correlation here? He's saying that there was a serpent lifted up on a pole thousands of years ago. In that moment, if they looked, they would be healed. Now, Jesus comes to the earth and he says, you know what? I know you've all been bit by sin. I know that you've all stained your spiritual clothes that you can't clean. I know you're not ready for the wedding banquet. But I tell you what, Jesus came for a purpose. He set his eyes on you, and he says, I came down for the purpose, not to be a serpent, but I came down for the purpose to heal you, to cleanse you, to give you new clothes so that you can be prepared to live your life and then stand before God forgiven. And so he says, the Son of Man, Jesus, must be lifted up. What does that mean? Sometimes we say we have to lift up Jesus in praise. We do, but that's not what this means. Being lifted up means that there was a cross on the ground, a Roman crucifixion. They would strip the person naked, and then they would nail his hands or her hands into that cross, nail their feet into a cross with spikes. In Jesus' case, they whipped his back and had a crown of thorns on his head. It was an awful thing. But then that cross that was on the ground with ropes was lifted up and stuck in a hole in the ground. And it became the pole along the side of the road where a naked man was hung, bleeding, living out his last moments. And Jesus said, there is a way that I can cleanse you. There is a way that I can give you an antidote, a cure for your sin. There is a way that even though you can't cleanse your clothes and be able to go to the wedding banquet, I can do that. But it has to be with my blood. It has to be with my life. You can't pay for it. Even being good, it's not going to erase the bad. So you can't pay for it, but I can pay for it. And so there he is, Jesus, saying, the Son of Man must be lifted up that whoever believes will not perish, which says, but have everlasting life. In him they may have eternal life. So what did the people in the desert do? Did they just came to the pole and looked and believed. If they didn't believe, they wouldn't go. But they believed. And so they came, looked, healed. What does Jesus need from you? He needs you to believe this. This is a matter of life and death for all of us, for all of Gothenburg, for 8-9 million people in Sweden. This is their only hope. Jesus was lifted up on a pole. But if people would just come to Jesus and say, I'm dirty, I've been bit by the devil, I need healing, I need cleansing. Jesus said, oh, you believe that? I can do that for you. So what did Jesus do? I'll show you what Jesus did. Jesus gets up on that cross like a snake on a pole, and he goes into your closet and he finds your spiritual clothes. Oh, your clothes are beautiful today. But the ones that you would stand before God in are the way that you have lived your life. And he dresses spiritually in your clothes on the cross. And he's attached to that pole and he receives the payment for our sin. What's the payment for our sin? The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus. There is a payment for lying. There is a payment for lust in our hearts. There is a payment for blaspheming God. There's a payment for coveting, desiring things, and doing anything to get that. There's a payment for having other gods before him. There's a payment for breaking the Ten Commandments, and it's death. And Jesus says, I don't want you to die, but you're going to. And I don't want you to die, so I'm going to die in your place. So on the cross, Jesus did this exchange, this substitution. And as he was lifted up and he wore our clothes, the Bible says, why did he do this? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not die the second death, will not be cast into hell, they'll die a physical death, but it's more like falling asleep. And then you can wake up in the presence of God, but will not die, but have everlasting life. Now look what the next verse says. Verse 17, it says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Let me say that a different way. For God did not come into this world to start a church. He did not come into this world to do a new religion. He didn't come into the world where everybody's already condemned to come and tell you, you're condemned, you're all condemned. You're not going to make it. No, he didn't come to condemn you. Why? Because you're already condemned. Because of the way we've lived our lives. It said, he didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but to be condemned. I switched the words a little to help you understand what happened for you. Jesus didn't come in to condemn you. He came into the world to be condemned in your place. In your place. God, I deserve to be condemned. He said, I know. Step aside. I'm going to take your place. Puts on your clothes. I will be condemned for you. Why? For God so loved the world. And that's you. And he loves you. And he loves you. I can tell you today, he loves you. How do I know that? He was condemned for you. He dressed in your clothes. He took your sin. He took the wrath of God. This is great news for you. Now, what do you have to do? Come to the center of the camp. Look. Believe. Not in the snake. In Jesus. Look. Believe. Then it says, he has not come into the world to condemn the world, but he will be condemned in our place, but that the world might be saved through him. So when I was 17 years old, a girl invites me to a Bible camp. Well, I didn't have to pray about that because I thought that was the best idea in the whole world. I don't have to work on the chicken farm for a week, and I can go be with a girl who actually was looking at me. That was nice. And I would go to that Bible camp, and we'd spend the week together. I was not interested in the Bible. I wasn't even interested in the camp. I wasn't even really interested in God so much. I was interested in girls. I was 17. So I go to the camp. And it was a three-hour drive. I don't know how many Swedish miles it was, but it was a lot. And we get there, and her mother, who was driving, removes the suitcases from the trunk of the car, and mom drives away, and I'm standing in the parking lot with Cindy. And Cindy looks at me and she says, thank you so much for accepting my invitation to come to camp. I'm excited. Yes, 1 week with a girl. She says, I hope you have a great time. I says, I'm planning on it. She says, but if you'd excuse me. I says, yes, ma'am. What's going on? She says, well, I need to go get myself all fixed up because I'm meeting my boyfriend here in a half hour. I said, you have a boyfriend? Oh, yes. I didn't tell you? Well, no. I think you forgot to tell me that part, that you have a boyfriend, just the way it happened. We have some comics that we can give them out. I made a little comic book of my story. So tell people of how I came to the center of the camp. And she left, and there I stood in the parking lot. I mean, she wasn't being mean. Well, it was kind of mean. But she wasn't being a bad person. She was evangelizing me. She realized this is a chicken farmer boy who needs an encounter with God. If I can get him to Bible camp, maybe God will speak to him. And so she brought me to Bible camp because of Pentecost, because you will receive power and be my witnesses, and you'll go into the Jerusalem, Judea, to the ends of the earth and share the gospel. She received that hundreds of years later. And now she's telling me, let's go to camp. So she disappears. So what do? No big deal. I'm good looking. 17. What lady would not want me? That was my thought. And I went and I tried to get girls any way I could. Give me a balloon here, for example. It's in the backpack. You know, so I juggled. And I used to juggle chicken eggs because I could juggle chicken eggs, and I could balance things on my face. Oh, and then of course you certainly want to, if you want to impress a girl, now take notes. Okay. You just blow up a balloon like that. See, so suddenly the girls look, oh, how do you do that? I said, it's pure talent. It says when you learn how to do this, you know, you're gonna know something that most people don't know. And so you just start twisting like this, and the girls look, and suddenly you have yourself a little poodle dog like that, right? Isn't that cute? You like that? You don't like that?
They're not impressed.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You already have a boy? Yeah, no? No? Well, then we give this to you. I'm already taken, so you can't have me, but you can have the balloon anyway. You see that smile on her face? Well, I tried these things, and we're going to close this up here today, but I tried everything on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Tomorrow we go home. And I go, this has been a failure of a week because I did not get another girl, and I was very surprised. I'm sitting in the service. The evangelist is preaching. I'm sitting towards the back. And I have a view of 300 young people. There's got to be one girl out there that hasn't gotten a boyfriend this week. And all I'm doing is looking. And while I'm looking after my own desires, God had another desire. And I think he stood behind the preacher who was preaching about the one lifted up in the wilderness, that we might be come to Christ and receive forgiveness. And he talked about Jesus and the gospel and the cross. And suddenly one of those convicting arrows flew through the sky, invisible. And I'm just looking at girls. And that arrow of conviction hit my heart. Boom! And you know what happened? A miracle. I'm not exaggerating. A miracle. My blind eyes were opened. When I say blind eyes, I mean I didn't see myself on the inside. I knew I did things wrong. I knew there were things in my life that didn't please God, but I didn't know my clothes smelled and they were like this. And the Holy Spirit showed me my sin. And as soon as I saw my sin, I go, I'm dying and I'm going to hell. I'm lost. And while I was feeling this weight of conviction, I said in my heart, oh, Jesus, that's all you got to do. That's all you got to do. Oh, Jesus, I don't want to live in my sin anymore. I don't want to pretend and just go to church. I don't want to be a fake. I want the genuine. I need to know. I just called out to Jesus. And you know what Jesus did? He says, I like that. Okay, strip. And I remember in my heart, I said, I don't want to do this stuff any longer. And I said, I'm putting my back towards that. He says, okay, this is good. And you know what he did? You know what he did? They had a time of prayer. And I said, I'm going to be the first one praying. God, I've been going to church all these years, but I don't know you, and I'm not forgiven. I need forgiveness. You know what Jesus did? He heard my prayer, and he came, and it was like Jesus walked into his closet, and he pulled out some of his clothes. Isaiah talks about the robe of righteousness, and he allowed me to put on his clothes that day. That was when I was 17 years old. And it's clothes that smell like Jesus, clothes without any stains, a life that doesn't show any sin before the Lord. Why? Because he paid for it all. And I put that on, and I was radically changed on the inside. Suddenly, all the girls in the camp disappeared. Oh, they were still there, but I wasn't looking for them anymore. Now, suddenly, my eyes went to, how can I please you? It happened like this. Because there was a change inside like this. Spiritually, I was given new clothes. I was ready for that parable of the banquet to not be the man saying, sir, how did you get in here dressed like that? Oh, I don't know. Bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know what? Jesus doesn't want that for you. He was bound hand and foot. He was bound hand and foot on that cross so that you wouldn't have to be cast away. So I've got great news to you. Great news. Isn't this great news? We can be forgiven. I don't know how you showed up to church today, but I'll tell you this. There's only two ways to live your life. I don't care if you live in Spain. I love living in Spain. Doesn't matter if you live in Sweden, Africa, Asia, India. There's only two ways to live your life. In your sin, or in the righteousness of Christ, forgiven. I'll tell you this, there's only two ways that you can stand before God. So hear me, and I'll pray, and I'll give you an opportunity to come to the center of the camp and look and be healed. I showed you Jesus. If you look, you'll be able to see him. If you have eyes to see, you'll see him. If you had ears to hear, you'll hear the call. And you'll know that it's urgent, because when you stand before God, it'll be one of two ways. One of two ways. Like this, or like this. So how are you today? How did you come? I'm not so concerned right now how you came. I am concerned how you leave. Because there's hope this morning. Oh, the hope that we have this morning. This morning, Jakob, this morning. My wife Joni and I, last night, turned on the computer. And we dialed into a live stream of a funeral of somebody I met a couple of years ago, my age, who was a leader in the church, and he raised honeybees. And a few days ago, he was out tending his honeybees with his wife, and he has a terrible allergic reaction if he gets stung by a bee. But he didn't have his EpiPen. He didn't have his antidote with him. And he didn't put the covering on his body quite good enough, and there was an opening. And the bees were flying all around. And a bee crawled down his covering, went up underneath, and stung him. Now, if a bee stings me, it's like, ouch. A bee stung him, and he goes, no, I don't have my antidote. I don't have my EpiPen. And he started running towards the house. And the poison flowed through his body, and he drops dead of a heart attack. You're a bee sting away from eternity. You're a car accident away from eternity. You're a heart attack away from eternity. Guys, how are you dressed this morning? You don't have tomorrow. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. And so I presented to you the most wonderful news in the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes and comes to the center of the camp and looks at Jesus will not perish, will not die, but have everlasting life. Jesus did not come into the world to condemn you, because you're already condemned, but that he might be condemned in your place so that you might have life. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that gave us power to share the gospel 20 centuries later. Thank you for this wonderful church. Thank you for the good news. And I'd like to pray for the people this morning that need forgiveness. Maybe you're a child. Maybe you're a mom or dad. Maybe you're single. But here you came to church this morning. You maybe had certain expectations of what this was like, and suddenly the Holy Spirit surprised you and showed you your heart. If you need forgiveness this morning, I'm going to say a prayer for you, but you're going to have to come to the center of the camp in your heart. You don't have to come forward here, but you do have to come to Jesus. So if you feel like you need forgiveness this morning, if you feel like you need to look to Jesus to cleanse away the stains and make your clothes clean, if you want to live clean and die clean, if you want to be a follower of Jesus, if you're willing to give up the things that don't please God, If that's you this morning, would you place a hand on your heart? Because that's where Jesus has to come to change. And change that hard heart for a soft heart. Change those dirty clothes for clean clothes. And if you put your hand upon your heart right now, then this prayer that I'm going to pray out loud is going to be for you. Is there anybody that wants to do that? Thank you. Anybody else? You're just placing your hand on your heart saying, I need forgiveness. I want to come to Jesus. I need new life. I want that hope. Anybody else? Father, thank you. That good news was shared this morning. Thank you. That there is healing and forgiveness and cleansing. And I just pray, Lord, for those that have that recognition today, showing it by a hand on the heart, they want you. They're coming to you. They're looking to you. You're our only hope. You are salvation. Thank you for the change you did in my life. That when you came into my life on that day when I was 17, my entire life changed. May it be with those that have their hands on their heart this morning. I pray your blessing upon this church, upon Pastor Johnny and the deacons. I pray, Lord, for a miracle, for a new building and a place to meet. So come, Jesus, continue to uphold this lighthouse that they may be a voice in this city of good news to so many people that are lost. In Jesus' name, amen.